Christy Carson. Welcome to Today's Issues. Well, on April 12th, we celebrated what we call the Equal Pay Day. It's the day where women's earnings seemingly catches up to men's earnings from the previous year, and it's very interesting. We're going to dedicate an entire show to that next week with the Women's Foundation and the University of Missouri Truman School of Public Affairs Institute of Public Policy. Very interesting stuff. Don't want to miss that. But today, my friend, we're going to talk about a different equality. How about equality in the family court system? Yes, it's an issue that impacts a lot of different families, particularly as it relates to men. So today we're going to talk about this, and there's a bill that is moving through the Missouri legislature where proponents say it would level the playing field for men. Representatives from Cordell and Cordell are joining me today. First, let me introduce you to Scott C. Trout, Executive Managing Partner and CEO of Cordell and Cordell. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Also joining Scott is Kristen Zurich. She is litigation partner in the firm of Cordell and Cordell right here in St. Louis. Welcome to Today's Issues.
Thank you for having me here.
I hear you are a super woman when it comes to these issues.
I'm in court a whole lot, so I'm happy to help weigh in and give people some ideas as to what's happening.
Okay, so when I started out the program, I talked about equality in the court system, especially as it pertains to family law. And I know Cordell and Cordell has been like burning up the court system with making sure that men are treated equally and fairly. Mm-hmm. Scott, tell me about how the law firm began and why you're so interested in making sure that the court system is equal.
You know, I've been doing this for about 25 years. And I always talk about when we have seminars around the country with guys in the evening, we always say the doctors did it right. They began to specialize in one area, whether they were pediatrics or oncology. And so why wouldn't lawyers then just do one thing really well? And so we really began that transition back into the 90s to representing guys only. And really, it was about getting a partner where they could be with a partner they could count on, someone who would be there with them from beginning to end, both before, during, and after divorce. And so it really was about kind of creating a powerhouse of knowledge of attorneys. And that's what we've done across the country with over 200 lawyers around the country in 30 plus states.
Congratulations on celebrating 25 years. And you guys just keep growing and growing. You have offices in 30 states, almost 100 offices now, also including the United Kingdom.
Yeah, that's really exciting. It was a big step for us to go into the UK. And I was over there pretty much for the last year and a half, back and forth, just trying to make sure everything was opened up. And one of the things I was interested in seeing was whether or not guys in the UK face the same situations in the US. And I didn't think it would be, but it was amazing. If I didn't know there was an accent, I would think I was in the United States. Yeah. The same issues guys face in terms of discrimination in the UK are the very same things that guys face and the troubles they have in the United States.
And Kristen, it would seem kind of interesting to hear why a woman would go and practice at a law firm that pretty much helps men in this family law system. You know, I'm sure you get that question a lot. So tell me why.
I do get that question an awful lot. And the interesting thing is if you took a look at our firm, I think you would see that we have more female attorneys than we do male attorneys. Family law is a primarily female-centered area of the law. So you find a lot of women that are drawn to this part of the profession. And I was drawn to this job as a whole because I could make a meaningful difference in somebody's life. And I had a very active father person when my family was divorcing. And it was a really important part of me growing up. So some of my own personal experiences have sort of shaped my professional experiences as well.
So if you could, Scott, set up what was going on, because in my mind, obviously, I'm thinking, okay, you go to the court system, you're going through a divorce, and the kids, you know, typically end up with mom, and mom gets all of the money, and all of the blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Set me up with a before and now type of scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty, if you look at the transition, not only in just family court, but in life, more women are the primary breadwinner than ever. And now we have more women that are working in dual household incomes than we did back in the 90s. And so, honestly, when we look back in the 90s, there was much more of a challenge in trying to transition the judges and the justice system, the bench and the bar, to understanding that men play an important role in children's lives. And now there's also all these studies psychologically where children benefit from the roles of both parents. And so we're learning so much more. And so we kind of fast forward into the 2000s, and we do see a substantial change. And there's all these legislative movements to do shared parenting and shared custody. But we also see a change in what the judges are looking at, both from support for men. I call it manimony, which is alimony around the country.
Right.
But I call that because, you know, there's some studies out there that about a third of men are eligible to get alimony or spousal support, but only about 6 to 8% actually get it. So we're making that transition not only from custody but from a financial perspective. But we are so much better around the country now. We're still seeing a difficult transition, and you still see spot issues around the country when it deals with men and fighting for being an active role in their kids' lives and getting equal time. But we've made substantial strides.
So, Kristen, it would seem like this has truly been, like you were saying, your father was very involved when your parents were going through a divorce. This is not new. Fathers have always wanted to be equally involved in their kids' lives. And now the court system is catching up, so to speak.
Absolutely. And the legislature is catching up to what the courts have been typically doing. Since I've been practicing for 13 years now, I've seen a movement towards more joint custody. You very rarely see sole custody given to mom. And so now the Missouri legislature is trying to catch up. There's a House bill and a Senate bill that are companion bills right now that are out there that are that's trying to equalize parenting time between parents to get to a week-on, week-off custody schedule, which is great for dads in Missouri.
Joint legal custody and joint physical custody, two different things. Would you like to explain the difference?
Correct. Legal custody is the decision-making power over the kiddos, so deciding if they're going to go to half-day or full-day preschool or deciding what doctors they go to. And physical custody is the actual schedule as to who has the kiddos when.
So when you're talking about this House bill, which we're talking about today, House Bill 2055, I believe it is.
I believe so.
And also a partnering or a parallel Senate bill that pretty much deals with the same thing. Hearings have been done at the Missouri legislature, and so now it's moving through the process with the hope of this becoming law. Joint physical and joint legal custody means what for the parents?
For the parents, it means that mom and dad have equal say in raising their child. And for mom and dad, it means that there is substantially equal time in the physical custody arrangement between the mom and dad and the kids. So they're going to share their parenting responsibilities straight down the middle.
And how has that worked out? Because as just a, you know, a listener and someone who is interested in learning more, if parents were so able to make good decisions for the benefit of their children before they got a divorce, what makes you guys think that this is going to work as far as the children after divorce?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question. I think I talk about this in seminars. I said, look, if you were able to come to an agreement, you know, now you wouldn't be getting divorced. But we're talking about the major decisions, you know, health, education, and welfare. And really, the court should leave it to the parents to try to figure it out. And only in circumstances where there's such a level of miscommunication and an inability to cooperate should they step in. I mean, I think the message has to be that we have two adults that need to act like adults for the benefit of their children, period. And so I counsel guys a lot, the difference between physical and legal. And that legal really, to me, has the most important label that exists when we talk about guys at Cordell and Cordell. And that is, you want to be able to choose doctors and major decisions regarding health care and surgeries and choice of schools. But then the physical side is somewhat of a label, meaning that I have had many times where we've settled cases where guys have equal time, but mom may still have a label of primary physical parent. Mm-hmm. Now, there are implications when you don't get that label, but typically when we're talking to guys, I want them to get hung up on the legal side and not so much on the physical side.
Right. Well, I say the same thing, and I say the schedule is what matters.
Mm-hmm. The schedule is what matters.
Yeah. Right.
And for people who are listening to this program today, you say joint legal custody means that you get to help decide with doctors where they're going to go to school or major issues like that, correct?
It is.
And joint physical custody means where that person or that kid is physically going to reside for the majority of their lives.
Right. Right. It's confer, consult, and agree on decisions and then time.
Okay.
So it's agreement and time. You can separate with those two words.
So what is your hope for this bill as far as what you do at Cordell and Cordell, and how is this going to seriously impact, if it makes it all the way through, what you're going to do for your clients?
Sure. What it does for our client is equal the playing field before we even walk into the courthouse. I mean, most clients want as much time as available as they can get with the children. And if the court is presuming that they're going to go on a week-on, week-off basis, I already have what most of my clients want walking into the courthouse. So it would be a huge benefit for almost all of our clientele.
Absolutely. I mean, I think anything can help. And I look at myself, and I would put in their shoes. I can't imagine not seeing my kids as much as I see them now. And that would be devastating. And yeah, I work a lot, but that doesn't mean I'm a less parent. And now when you have dual household workers, just picking one parent over the other because of their sex just doesn't make sense anymore. I mean, let's really dig down and let's put them both on a level playing field. I mean, if I had my way to redesign the law, both parents would come into court and it would be petitioner A versus petitioner B. And the judge would never know who's mom and who's dad. And that's really what we're looking for at Cordell and Cordell. It's a level playing field in the court system. And let's really determine it based on the facts and not the sex.
So when we come back on today's issues, I want to find out, how does this level playing field act in the best interest of the children? That when we come back, we're speaking with attorneys from the Cordell and Cordell Law Firm. We have Scott C. Trout, who is the executive managing partner and CEO of the law firm, and Kristen Zurich, who is a litigation partner of St. Louis's Cordell and Cordell. More when we come back on today's issues.